As we continue our lesson this evening, having to do with lessons that are to be learned from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it has occurred to me that the Bible, the facts of the Bible, the truths that are revealed therein concerning the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the facts that follow, they all fit beautifully together, just exactly the way God would want them to. And because one truth is the case, so it is then that we can rely upon those truths to know that there are other truths that follow. As we had discussed in the lesson this morning, we had recognized that there are a number of things the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ proves. It proves, first of all, that there is God. There could be no resurrection. There could be no resurrection of our Lord or the resurrection of anyone for that matter if it were not for the existence of God. We will notice further this evening as we talk about the resurrection that it is indeed because of the very nature that God created within man. The fact that man has that immortal part. He has that part which is called the spirit or the soul, which enables him to be raised from the dead. We further notice that it is so that if we believe in this miraculous resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are also going to believe that God in that way is declaring him to be divine. He is the Son of God. Not only is that what Jesus himself claimed for himself while he was here on earth, but Romans 1 and verse 4 says that he with power was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. When we talk about Christ being raised from the dead, we are saying God placed his stamp of approval upon the claims that his Son had made. Because God is, because Jesus is indeed the Son of God, it also follows that he is the one and only Savior of the world. We concluded our lesson this morning by just absolutely insisting that with all of these lessons being the case, then it also would follow that we must obey all of the commandments, all of the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was at that point then that we concluded this part or that part of the lesson. But there are many other facts, there are many other lessons that are to be gleaned from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would suggest for your consideration that the very fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead tells us he not only lives on, but he is coming again. The Bible makes a great deal out of the fact that the resurrection proves that Jesus will come again. Suppose he had not been raised from the dead. Well, there's no power in a dead Jesus. As wonderful as his death on the cross is, if that was the end of it, you remember how the disciples were feeling, don't you? They were absolutely defeated. They said, We did not think that was what was going to happen. And so more or less in hiding for that period of time. And then the glad, rejoicing news. He is risen. And as Jesus then was raised from the dead, so we say, he tells his disciples now, that is not the end of the matter. That is simply the beginning. Turn, if you will, to Acts, the first chapter. And in the opening part of this grand book, we are told that the Lord now spends a period of time with his disciples. As Luke writes to this man, Theophilus, he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Then you will remember in the discussion that ensues that in verse 9 we're told, "Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" Dear brethren, Jesus not only did not remain in the tomb, but he ascended back to heaven itself. Can you imagine the wonder? Can you imagine the amazement of the disciples as they saw him lifted up, being received by that cloud, and then as they are so intently gazing into the above, here are these two men, very, very definitely messengers from God, angels, who are saying, "Now, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you is going to return in like manner." Well, that is not the first time that such a promise was made. Not only is it true that we have these promises of the angels to rely on, but of course we have the very promise of Jesus himself. I cannot truly understand why the apostles did not know more than what they did. But they were mere men. They had all of their doubts, and then at the death of Jesus, they evidently were crushed to the ground. But notice, even on that betrayal night, we read in John, the 14th chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also." Do you realize what wonderful promises these are? There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. Brother Walter Davis is going to be talking about there's a great day coming in our gospel meeting. And, oh, it's going to cover a lot of very, very important things that not only will be a benefit to you, but will be a benefit to the visitors that you may be able to bring that night. What further proof? What further proof that Jesus is going to come again? We partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, didn't we? I notice that one of the things that Jesus promised the disciples on that betrayal night as he introduced this solemn feast, he said, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What does that mean? Well, Jesus knew something, didn't he? He knew about the betrayal of Judas. He knew they were going to take him and crucify and slay him. But he also knew that he would be raised from the dead again. And not only that, he made that wonderful promise to the 12. And I think by application to all of us that have partaken of the supper tonight or this morning, and that is, as we drink the cup, as we break the bread, the Lord is in our very midst. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul, in those wonderful instructions in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, said this to the Corinthian brethren. You know, when we partake of the supper, it's a testimony to the world. Did you know that? We are testifying to the world about our faith. About our faith, not only that Jesus died, that he arose again, but that he is coming a second time. And so the apostle under inspiration said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes again. I believe that is a very, very important thing for all disciples to keep in mind each Lord's Day as we take the bread and as we drink of the cup. Not only are we offering our gracious thanks for such a wonderful death for our benefit, but we're declaring to the world, our Lord is alive. Our Lord is coming again. We can talk a lot about the misconceptions that people have. He's already come. We just didn't know it. A great day coming. A great day that has not been yet. And I'll tell you what, dear brethren, that is going to be one of the most wonderful, wonderful days. It depends on the resurrection. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I are going to be raised from the dead. I'd like that fact. I'd like that lesson. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I will be raised from the dead. As a matter of fact, all men will be raised from the dead. But let's go to our chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, and beginning with verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. The resurrection. Jesus said it would happen. Jesus said it would happen. The hour is coming, recorded in John 5. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, verse 28, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's another great day coming, isn't it? That's another wonderful event that depends upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the first fruits. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. Now, there had been other people that had been raised from the dead. While our Lord was here on earth, he raised Jairus' daughter. He raised the brother of Mary and Martha, and we can think of others. But now, our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, that has special significance for us, because our resurrection is dependent upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deny that, and you deny that you will be raised from the dead. You know, that is a wonderful thing, the resurrection from the dead. We fear death. We fear death. This is something that, well, none of us have had it to happen before. Not only is it true that none of us have had that to happen to us before, but we wonder, what awaits us? We are told that the body is going to go to the dust of the ground. But we are told when Jesus comes again that then the spirit of man that has gone back to God that gave it, it's going to be reunited with the body. Now, you can read in 1 Corinthians 15, and I urge you to do that if there is further explanation that you need. The body that will be raised out of that old grave, it's not going to be a mortal body. It's going to be immortal. It's going to be incorruptible. It will live on forever. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the apostle knew that it was very important for Christians to understand the resurrection from the dead. So in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, we read, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. When we die, dear brother and sister, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. In one sense of the word, that's just really the true beginning. If our Lord does not return beforehand, it is safe for us to say every one of us will die. Every single one of us. While it matters little what may happen to the physical body, but our spirits will live on. Those who are asleep in Jesus, they will go on to be with the Lord. But there is that great day coming, dependent upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is that wonderful day that is coming when there will be the resurrection from the dead. While we sorrow when our loved ones in Christ pass from this earth, that's natural. That's natural. But we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. I think about my loved ones in Christ that have already passed from this life. I know I'm going to see them again. I know that if I live according to the will of God, we will be reunited to never, ever be separated again. Don't you know it's wonderful to be a Christian? Don't you know that? We have a hope. We have something firm that all of the unbelievers in the world do not have. Pursuing happiness. Pursuing something they can hold on to. But the thing that is worth holding on to is to remember, because Jesus was raised from the dead, so shall we. Because our Lord was raised from the dead, finally, there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. Oh, there again, so many skeptics, so many people that say, how do you know? Are you just trying to scare people whenever you talk about there being a judgment day, and so we better be good? We better straighten out our lives. We better be baptized. My dear friends, I know just as surely as I'm standing here that there is going to be a day of judgment, because God raised His Son from the dead. And so I read in Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Every nation, every person that has ever lived. Have you ever wondered how many people there are that have lived from the time of Adam and Eve? Every person in every part of the world, in every nation, in every age of time, we're going to be gathered before the Lord. And do you know what? Philippians chapter 2 tells us every knee shall bow before him. One preacher said, it's not a question of whether you will bow before the Lord. It is just a question of when. When? Do you know atheists are going to bow before the Lord? Do you know that all of the kings and queens that have ever lived, the potentates and the dictators and the rulers, the cruel and the good, and there is coming this great day because our Lord has been raised from the dead and all shall be prostrated before him. Every knee shall bow and every knee shall proclaim him the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. And we'll be separated, sheep from goats. There's only one thing that I really want to hear Jesus say to me. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It doesn't really matter what our position on earth is. It doesn't matter if we are poor, if we are humble, if we are uneducated, if there are many things we cannot do. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there is not a single person that remembers you. If because of the resurrection of Jesus, you say, I'm going to serve him. And when I die, oh, that old body of mine, yes, it's going to sleep in the earth. It will decay. But when Jesus comes, I'll be raised. I don't know how many other lessons there are to be learned from the resurrection, but we have talked about some, I believe, that are very, very important. Someone said this morning, well, you know, those are all just simple things, aren't they? Yes, they are. And they're the things that you and I need to believe, and we need to act accordingly in our lives because we do believe them, all because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Let's stand and sing.